engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. By now it was already late, and his disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already very late. Dismiss them so that they can go to the surrounding farms and villages and buy themselves something to eat." He said to them in reply, "Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Are we to buy 200 days' wages worth of food and give it to them to eat?" He asked them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, "5 loaves and 2 fish." So he gave orders to have them sit down in groups on the green grass. The people took their places in rows by hundreds and fifties. Then taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 12 wicker baskets full of fragments and what was left of the fish. Those who ate of the loaves were 5,000 men. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, we're continuing to celebrate the Christmas season. And if Christmas tells us anything, it's that God's love is first, before ours. While some religions during human history have thought that God is against us and that we have to initiate the love in order to turn his anger towards us into love for us in return, the Christian gospel is exactly the opposite. While we were still at enmity with God, Christ came, he became incarnate, he was born of the Virgin Mary, Christmas happened, the announcement of a Savior for us all was made, and then he offered himself on the cross for us. He loved us first. This is why we heard this reading today in the first reading from the first letter of John, that God loved us. It's not that we have loved him. The meaning of love is that it starts with him. That's why his will is before ours. His choice is before ours. His plans are before ours. God's love goes first and makes everything else happen. And one of the things it makes happen, and this is another dimension of Christmas, is reflected in this gospel that there is a superabundance of fulfilling the needs of the people, the hunger of the people. And Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone. His physical feeding of the crowds in the miracle we just read about is a sign of the fact that he fills us with hope, with life, with forgiveness, with grace, with salvation. It's much more than bread and fish. Christmas is about that. The giving of the gift of God's divinity to us who give him the gift of our humanity leads to all these things. And it leads to the fruitful and active service of his people. And that's why we celebrate people like St. John Newman, who came to the United States in 1836, and he became a priest of the Redemptorist order. He became Bishop of Philadelphia, and this was actually the first American bishop, not only the first bishop to be canonized in America, but the first male American saint, St. John Newman. He was just known for his intense pastoral activity, going about and teaching and preaching and serving those in need. And in particular, as you heard in the opening prayer, he distinguished himself in the area of Catholic education. And interestingly, the saint we observed yesterday, the first native-born American saint, also distinguished herself in the area of education, starting so many Catholic schools, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. John Newman was the first to start a diocesan system of schools. Catholic education, again, being so important. And let me just point out here that the number in Catholic schools in Philadelphia under him grew from 2 to 100. And on the average, he founded a new church every month. The multiplication of the loaves and the fish, the abundance of the Christmas gifts of the Lord, the fact that he loved us first, and that sets into motion all these other acts of love. He's generous to us first. That sets into motion the feeding of the crowds. That sets into motion the establishment of the churches and the schools by people like St. John Newman. That sets into motion the good activity that you do in the world. And brothers and sisters, we are called to that. We are called to apply the gospel of Christ to the events of the world. And so today, we are active. So many of you are active. So many people around the country have been active in preparing for a very important election that is going on right now as we speak. People are going to the polls in the state of Georgia to elect not one but two U.S. senators in an election that will determine which party controls the U.S. Senate and therefore what direction the lawmaking activities of the Congress will go, at least over the next 2 years. So important that we get this right. If we're concerned about the protection of life, if we're concerned about the protection of religious freedom, if we're concerned about the direction our country is going, if we love America, if we know the differences between the Republican and Democrat platforms, as we've been educating people in those differences for a long time, we will see the importance of these elections. It will determine what direction the entire country goes. It's not just about those candidates that are running. It's about the difference between the parties. And our ability as faithful Christians who receive the Word of God and understand it to evaluate these things. We're called to evaluate them. We're called to read the signs of the times. We're called to apply the teaching. Georgia is critical today. So is the action tomorrow that will be taken by the U.S. Congress in trying to resolve the presidential race, which is unresolved and highly disputed. Half the country is convinced that it was decided wrongly. And so, brothers and sisters, we prayed earlier in the psalm, "With your justice, he shall govern your people." God is concerned about justice. And many American citizens are concerned that this presidential election has been infected with injustice. Are we the people of God to be silent about that? When I talk about this, as I've been doing every day, some people say to me, "Well, Father Frank, you should be talking about God, not about politics." Well, I have news for you. I am talking about God. God hates lying. God hates stealing. God hates cheating. God hates injustice. And so if there is evidence in an election of injustice, of lying and cheating and stealing, we're going to speak up. And so should you. And brothers and sisters, this is where I want to urge you today. Be in contact with your members of Congress, your representative, your two senators. Call them today and tell them that you want them tomorrow to speak and act on behalf of fairness and truthfulness and transparency and justice in the presidential election. Call them. Let them know. Go to ProLifeVote.com. You'll see the information you need to know, ProLifeVote.com. It's all about what these readings have said. The God who has come, the Christ who has been born, the baby who has been laid in the manger, is the God of truth and justice. He's a light to the nations. Either we're going to take that seriously and apply it to the circumstances of our society, or we're just engaged in storytelling and wishful thinking and poetry. Word of God is not just about storytelling and poetry. It's about letting that word fill us, because the love of God comes first. It's about fruitful activity making us abundant, like the feeding of the 5,000 with the loaves and the fish and all the fruitful pastoral activity of St. John Newman. It means making us active and abundant in the fruits of love and life and justice and truth, and therefore transforming the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Let us continue celebrating Christmas in this beautiful mindset, beautiful spirit, this beautiful attitude and commitment. It's real. It's not just poetry. Let us sing the praises of the Lord. Let us live the praises of the Lord. Let us encounter the Christ who has been born for us. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.